proven that I'm a problem to everybody in that locker room.
When you step in this ring, you'll be stepping in the ring with that.
I'm gonna do some real cowboys.
You're listening to the Midwest Marks Podcast.
Welcome one and welcome all to the Midwest Marks Podcast. I am your host, Eli Guidey. I am also joined here with the Midwest Marks. We've got Courtney here with us.
Man, that dynamite was fire. Let's talk about it.
It was. It's taking what you have and rolling with it. And when AEW rolls with it, you get a really great show. With the wrestling tea here, we've got the tea spiller, B-Mac, here. Well, while he's getting everything together, we've also got the Midwest Markout champion, Alex Coquito, here with us tonight.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whenever you hear this. If you love wrestling, we love you too, platonically. This was a almost great show. Want to hear my opinion why? Keep listening.
All right, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Thank you all for joining the live stream. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Follow the Midwest Marks Podcast. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We've already got some people in the chat. We got Bobby. Thank you, Bobby, for showing up. You did enjoy AEW Dynamite tonight. And yes, I can't wait to talk about who's going to be the first challenger for the TBS title. Because you all know, I simp for Jade Cargill. All right, we also got Joseph Hargrove. Great to have you back, sir. Welcome back. And KB, thank you for being on the show, man. Missed you, sir. Haven't talked to you in a bit. Thank you for joining us. All right, everybody. AEW Dynamite hailed from D.C., Washington, D.C., that is. And we saw the return of one John Moxley. I was so excited to see him back. He looks great. But unfortunately, we have dumb idiots that ruin the moment. And the first words that came out of John Moxley's mouth will always be legendary from this point on. It says, go F yourself. Get this guy out of here. That they need to make a t-shirt of that. I want a t-shirt of that, like now, right now. I want it. But it was a really great speech from John Moxley. Talked about a dream he had of like when he was struggling, when he was at his low point. And, you know, it resonates with a lot of people, and I believe this. Everyone carries their scars. Everyone goes through their trials and tribulations in this life. And somebody who is the perfect example of someone that fights through it and just destroys all the negativity in his path is John Moxley. It was great to see him. He challenged anybody to step up and take him on. He's going to grab the wrestling world by the balls. And I believe that man 100%. So we're going to see what happens with John Moxley. Who's going to step up? We'll find out a little bit later in the show. Let's get the tea spiller's thoughts on John Moxley's return.
Absolutely. I think that, honestly, these 3 months that he was off TV, like, served him very well. He looked good. He looked healthy. And he looked happy. And he looked at peace. And, you know, when you have a clear, like, frame of mind, you can deliver the type of message that he delivered tonight with conviction and passion. And at the same time, he was straight to the point. Like, listen, let's get it straight. I'm here and I'm back to beat y'all's ass. And I'm here to take what was like stolen from me, I feel like. And I'm not going to have any kind of remorse about doing so. And if you stand in my way, I'm going to take you down. You can either be with me or against me. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to get to my destination. And this is why I'm back. And I say, Hangman Page, sir. Brian ain't the one that you no longer need to worry about. It's Moxley, because a pissed off Moxley is the best version of Moxley. And yeah, Hangman's going to have to be ready for that battle when it happens, because it's not going to be easy.
Oh yeah, Moxley, energized Moxley is a dangerous thing. Can't wait for it. We got the advocate of the Midwest Marks Podcast, Kane the Destroyer, here. He said, put me in line for that shirt. Telling you, man, all AEW is the t-shirt company. Well, that's what WWE says anyway. But let's get the thoughts from John Moxley's return from Courtney.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. His promo was nothing but fire. it struck to my heart. It made me emotional because Jon Moxley wasn't only speaking for people who are just dealing with addiction. He was speaking to everybody in that room that was dealing with health crisis, you know, trials and tribulation. And, oh, we love you, Mox. Welcome back. I'm so happy you're back.
Yeah, I'm so happy he's back as well. Let's hear from our champion, Alex Coquito.
It sounds so good every time we have to say it. Legally obligated, of course. I'm going to say this. One thing, first off, shout out to Two Keys that was in the Twitter spaces earlier. He was actually getting a ticket, and he was actually going over there. So I hope you got there safe, and I hope you got home safe if you're hearing this. We are made of fans, and we love our fans too. Now, Moxley was like, you can see he was leaner. He was leaner. He wasn't as jacked up and roided out as he was the last couple of days ago. What's up there, 1130 podcast? We love you too, platonically. Now, Moxley, bring it all home. He didn't outright said what his addiction was and all that stuff. He said, look, I have a problem. I fought it. I feel better now. And that's great. That's great. That could be unironically used as a storyline down the line saying that I lost because I'm not like 100% because I'm a different person, whatever. But I don't want Moxley fighting Hangman yet. If the order of the match is going to be Danielson, Archer, and then Hangman, okay, yeah, let's put Wardlow with a hockey mask on it and shoulder pads, and then let's get all the – come on. We don't have to give him – Hangman versus the Goliaths escalating upwards. We don't have to do that. So give it time. That's all I'm saying.
This doesn't look like Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't know where you were going with that, but thank you for that input, Alex. We got to talk about MJF with Wardlow. MJF says that Punk took the easy way out and that he was calling Wardlow a noob. We can see Wardlow behind him just like, I want to choke this guy so bad right now. But he did apologize. MJF apologized, and that took me, but well, yeah, kind of, sort of, not really. Took me by surprise. It was Wardlow's birthday. We recognized that. He also told R-Truth happy birthday. So happy birthday, Ron Killings. Yeah. But he docked Wardlow's pay. He's taking money from the big man. But he says, if you win the Face of the Revolution match, you will get that money back tenfold. And Wardlow doesn't seem like he's having a good birthday. But I know what he'd wish for, to have his hands around the throat of MJF, just, you know, Bart Simpson it. Yeah, you know what I mean. But Courtney, what was your thoughts on this segment?
Okay, so my thoughts is this. Somebody needs to check MJF's diaper for him. Do you need a papa? Do you need a baba? If you don't know what a baba is, it's a bottle. But when he tried to tap my boy CM Punk, I knew he wasn't having that. And don't y'all think the scarf looked better on CM Punk than MJL? I'm just saying.
We'll talk about that. What went down on that. We also have BX, what's going on? BX Sports, Jedi Network. If you want to check out a sports network, check out BX. Awesome YouTube channel. He's amazing. Let's hear from the tea spiller.
Honestly, I feel like this promo, it was, again, the start of, you know, Wardlow eventually turning on MJF, going solo and leaving the Pinnacle, because at this point he's done everything he can in Pinnacle and it's time for him to stand on his own and be the star that he was destined to be from the moment he arrived at AEW. And I think that towards like the build up towards Revolution, he's going to turn on MJF and cost potentially MJF the biggest match of his career against CM Punk at Revolution, hence him destroying him post-match, because Wardlow is getting fed up and getting pissed off with being, you know, talked down to condescendingly and belittled, and he's going to snap. And you can already see it boiling over. Come Revolution, it's going to be the end of this friendship, and I'm so here for that.
Yeah, he was looking like he was getting ready to pop out of that suit and just destroy MJF. And I'm here for it. I am really here for it. Let's hear from the stats man, Alex Coquito.
Commentary from this segment. He said that Wardlow gave Punk early onset spinal stenosis. I don't know how the hell he knows that if he's a doctor, but all right, sure. He also said that Wardlow lost because he's, you know, young, behind the ears, and he needs more seasoning. Literally saying that while Wardlow's like, this mother, all right. I did like at the end that he's like, I'm sorry, but at the same time, I'm taking your money because I have to show power. And it sucked, but as we learn later on, timing and patience bring someone to a new era, a new plateau of being a person. So Wardlow, again, we have to wait probably like a month or so, or maybe in Face of Revolution. But like always, I hope for something and never happens. So I hope one more time, and hopefully Wardlow goes and turns and destroys MJFs and gives him like 10 power bombs and smiles at the end and walks away. Kiki.
I hope so, too. We got KB saying, also, I can't wait to see Wardlow give MJF a power bomb symphony. I can't wait for it. He definitely deserves it. Andrew Everett? I guess so. But it was cool. All right, let's go ahead and get into our first match of this AEW Dynamite. It was the mixed tag match with Adam Cole teaming with Dr. Britt Baker. DMD. Facing Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. It looked like Britt and Chris were going to start first, but Britt ran out as soon as she could, tagged in Cole, and then Cole did the exact same thing and tagged out. Orange was going to do the no-effort kicks on Britt Baker. He did, actually, but then she stomped on his foot. Chris was not happy about that. She slammed Britt and then booped her, and then Britt tagged out. Orange was able to hit a high crossbody, then DDT on Adam Cole. The DDT sent Cole out of the ring. Meanwhile, a delayed vertical suplex by Chris Statlander was held for a pretty long time, and then Orange Cassidy just meh, and then sent them to, yeah, that suplex was completed thanks to Orange Cassidy. All right, next thing that we had was both moonsaults by Stat and Orange Cassidy. We got a hug from the best friend's hug, so that was pretty cool. But super kicks from Britt and Cole, and then they kissed. They're so cute. Back from the break, we saw a double clothesline between Orange and Cole. Britt was got caught up by a Blue Thunder Bomb by Chris Statlander for a two count. We had a great exchange of grappling between these two, but Britt got the better half with a neck breaker. Britt saved Adam Cole from a beach break and then hit a stomp on Orange Cassidy. Good job, Britt. But then Cole protected Britt from a area 451 splash from Statlander. Orange Cassidy was going to get the two count, but Cole kicked out. Orange Cassidy was starting to get angry, and Adam Cole went outside the ring and caught Orange Cassidy as he was going to do a tope with a kick. It looked like Cole was going to get ready to do the Panama Sunrise, but Statlander stopped him. It looked like Cole was going to hit the Panama Sunrise on Statlander, but Britt stopped it, did a super kick, and then a Canadian Destroyer on the stage. They were also gonna set up a table. Britt and Cole. It worked against their favor. Britt got knocked out accidentally by Orange Cassidy and broke the table. Adam Cole was livid. It reminded me of when Triple H was mad as Randy Orton RKO'd Stephanie or punch kicked Stephanie. It was that kind of anger. Low blow by Cole and was able to hit the boom knee. The ref was checking on Britt, but Cole Snick signaled him in to get the win. Cole and Britt win this match. Let's get the stats and commentary from Alex Coquito.
Here we go. Numbers. OC 58-13-2. Statlander 38-16. Britt Baker 33-10. And Cole 10-0. Commentary. Like always, Shivani's like, oh, he's a good person. But, he's a piece of crap because that's talking about Cole. Britt didn't want the boop. She got the boop. I love that. I did like that he kind of half-assed, you know, even in the beginning, he almost went to the top of the ring, and then just made JR smile. I did like little small things in the match. When Cole won, he demanded the ref to raise his hand, and Shivani's screaming in the ring, "Why the hell do you care about a ring? Go get your girlfriend who's knocked out on the damn table." 3 seconds later, Cole's like, "Oh, crap." And then he runs, and then he goes to Britt and checks on the tail. I'm like, "Shivani, that was freaking smart." I think the ref's like, "Dude, don't worry. You have a girlfriend now." Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm not Adam Cole anymore. I'm Adam Cole. Britt, baby. Great match. Let's go for what's next.
I don't know about you guys, but during like this whole seeing Adam Cole and Britt Baker together, I'm getting these vibes.
Who's the bitch now?
I'm getting those vibes. Courtney, what's your thoughts on this match?
Don't make me throw up, first of all. But but yeah, great match. I love the team of Orange and Chris. Boop. There you go, alien, just for you, girl. I was thinking that Orange and Alien was gonna win, but unfortunately DLD and her budge won. So yeah, it was a A-OK match for me. I really don't want them to copy WWE or none of that, so on with the next.
I thought it was a really good match. That finish was really nice as well. Let's hear it from the T-Spiller.
I say this. Again, Chris Statlander was the MVP of this match, and she showed why she's came back. She's been on fire ever since she came back into the women's division post-injury, because at the end of the day, she... Listen, for Britt to be the champion, and this is the third time this has happened on a big stage, she got carried by her challenger of a non-title opponent, because first it happened with Red Velvet, it happened with Ty Nava at Full Gear, and now it happened tonight with Chris Statlander in this match. Sis, I'm going to need you to step it up. If you're supposed to be the champion, I'm going to need your work rate to match your caliber, because right now, heading into Thunder Rosa, you're being outshined by the opponents that you're not supposed to be losing to. So with that being said, the match was wonderfully done. This was the perfect way to showcase the women interacting with the men. Somewhat teased. But at the end of the day, again, I give full credit to like all four competitors, because they worked very well together. And they showed why when mixed tag team matches is done correctly with the right chemistry, you can get it done. And hopefully we can see more of these in AEW, because again, I'm going to bring it up. Taya Valkyrie wants a showdown with her and John Morrison versus Britt Baker and Adam Cole. And after what we've seen tonight with these four, why not? Book it, Tony.
I'm for it. I'm definitely for it. I like seeing all these four people in the ring. I want to see more mixed tag matches. I'm for it. All right. We got KV. He is saying, "I'm saying if Rebel Heart shows up next week, who knows where this could lead. Maybe a blood and guts match, just saying." Woo! It is in Cleveland, Ohio next week. Beach break. We'll see, KB. I'm hoping. I am praying. I want that. But we got to continue. We might have... Well, Eddie Kingston is injured. We talked about that. Go check out our YouTube video explaining that, of what happened to Eddie Kingston. But they're saying that 2.0... injured him. Go ahead, Alex.
After this segment, are you going to talk about the Adam Cole segment post?
Yes. Yes, okay. We will.
Okay, keep going. Continue.
Got you. Chris Jericho is trying to get this GFY thing to fly. I don't think it's going to fly. It's kind of getting... But Santana and Ortiz says to keep Eddie Kingston's name out of his mouth. Woo! Sticking up for their boy. I love it. But they said that maybe Chris Jericho is the reason why they're not tag champs. Maybe they need to do it on their own. Maybe this match that between them and 2.0 and Daniel Garcia will be the linchpin. And maybe we'll see them diverge once again. They never really officially broke up as the Inner Circle. But maybe this is what they is. But Chris Jericho said he ain't feeling that. He ain't feeling that. So we'll see. They have a match next week. Next thing that we got was Alex Marvez with Adam Cole, and he was not happy that Britt Baker got hurt. He on screen called Britt Baker his girlfriend, so that got a pop. That was really nice. But he said he's going to destroy Orange Cassidy next week and challenged him to a lights out match, which is kind of crazy because the last lights out match that we saw was with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. That is crazy. Let's hear from Courtney.
All right, so my thoughts on this is I hope Orange Cassidy beats the living crap out of Adam Cole, baby, because I'm sick of Adam Cole already, baby.
I love Adam Cole, baby! But I think Britt Baker has dibs on the guy, so I'm out of luck. B-Mac, your thoughts on all of this?
I think that it's going to be like one of the best matches on the lineup next week, because at the end of the day, Adam Cole has been on fire since he came in AEW. He hasn't lost yet, but his in-ring work has been on fire, literally. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying, like, from the moment he debuted. So it's like, how do you have a guy that's 10-0 losing to Orange Cassidy? I wouldn't have him lose to Orange Cassidy, to be honest. I would have him beat Orange Cassidy to further his push to Hangman Page, because let's be honest, he's going to battle Hangman Page at some point for that championship. Like, that's just what it is. And, you know, seeing the match that he put on against Khan on, you know what I'm saying, Dark the other night, he's going to have to keep proving that he can show up and deliver when it matters most. And next week is where it matters most, so I would have him beat Orange Cassidy.
I don't see Cole losing. And also, yeah, go check out that match between Adam Cole and Khan. Khan, we will be interviewing him tomorrow, and that will release probably this weekend. We'll let you guys know as soon as we are able to. Can't wait. It's going to be an amazing time. So blessed. Thank you, everybody, for supporting the Midwest Marks podcast. We do it because of you guys. And Adam Cole, I wonder, since we're going to be in Cleveland, Ohio next week, Adam Cole does have a tailored history with somebody with a rebel heart. I wonder, will that play into this? But Alex Coquito, let's go ahead and get your thoughts.
Now, I have to say this and make this very clear for everyone that's listening. A lights out match is a unsanctioned match. I say again, a lights out match is a unsanctioned match. Because if we remember the Rosa and Britt match of the unsanctioned version, Rosa won, but it's not on the record because it does not count. So, Adam Cole can technically lose and still have his perfect record and go up the ranks against Hangman, because it doesn't make sense that Orange is lost, and on the blow-off match, this unsanctioned match, he's going to lose again. Doesn't make any sense. So it has to be at a point that the Rebel Heart guy, I'm not going to say his name, but the Rebel Heart guy can come in because AEW is continuing storylines from other companies. And that other guy does not like Adam Cole. So why would he come in to help him? It makes no sense. But he would come in just for Adam Cole to lose. And then Adam Cole can divert and go to that guy while Orange Cassidy can just do something else. Because it's getting ridiculous, this whole freaking storyline.
Wait, are we referring to like Mr. Johnny Gargano? Like Mr. Cleveland himself? I mean, like, is that who he's talking about?
I had to make some kind of transition to get out of that situation. All right, we continue on. We got this long, drag-out fight between Sean Spears, a veteran in the game, and CM Punk. It was a match for the ages. I'm lying to y'all. This match was over in like 6 seconds. Sean Spears rushed CM Punk, got caught by the GTS, and got laid out. in the post-match, MJF, oh, he was, MJF was on commentary, by the way. And MJF tried to creep up behind Punk to get a shot in, but Punk pretty much caught him and turned around and was looking straight at him. Punk got him by the scarf, as Courtney alluded to earlier, was going for a punch, and then that chicken shit MJF ran away. So, the feud goes on. CM Punk was able to knock off Sean Spears. Sean Spears, man, where does he go from here? Where does that man go? Let's hear from B-Mac.
Honestly, yeah, this match was shorter than what I thought it was going to be, because given the fact that it was CM Punk, I thought that they would have put more effort into this being like a competitive match, because at the end of the day, Spears is a 20-year veteran who can do it all in the ring, literally. And so I thought that he would have put up like more of a bigger fight. But then again, I get why they did it in a squash form, because at the end of the day, he's sending a message to MJF like, listen, I'm not here to play with you. I'm here to take you out any way I can. And if I can take you out with the GTS as soon as possible, that's what I'm gonna do. And I'm gonna do it through your little cronies to like to show to you that, listen, you're gonna have to face me at some point, and at some point like you're gonna have to stop running. And this is what this match was. Now on to the next one.
It was what it was, and yeah, I'm glad they went that route. Keeps Wardlow strong as well, so that's also good. We've got Kofi Weaston of the Dirty Hills Podcast in the chat. How you doing, sir? Hope you're having a great night. Go ahead, Alex.
CM Punk, 11-0. And I say Spears is fine because he's 42-18. He's fine. He can lose. Also, for anyone that's listening, AEW focuses on storylines. That's the second time I've said this. Why? Why the hell would CM Punk would try to have a 10 or 12 minute match with Sean Spears if last week he got powerbombed 9 times? Nah, a veteran wouldn't do that. A veteran would find the first opportunity to hit your finisher and go home. And Sean Spears, before anyone was saying anything, he was distracted. He was clearly distracted, saying to MJF in the corner in the commentary, "Hey, hey, you see me? Hey, hey." And then when he ran, he turned, he got his GTS. By the way, there's no commentary for MJF, because by the time MJF sat down, Spears got hit with the GTS, and he just got up and then did all that stuff. But I did like pre-commentary, like, oh, I wish MJF would just turn back around and go back to the back and not sit down with us on commentary. Like, is that pastel blue? And Shobani tells JR, how do you know that? I don't know. I don't like any of his color suits. They're ugly. But, you know, just try to make a conversation. But that's before he sat down. Before. That's all I got. They're saving CM Punk and Spears for later, which is smart. Which is smart because before the match started, the promo kind of like, I'm like, wow, this promo is actually pretty good. I like that. CM Punk is not focusing on Spears, but Spears is focusing on CM Punk. So down the line, I like it.
Maybe. I don't have faith that they're going to do anything with Sean Spears like that. But who knows? They might. He is really good in the ring. Let's hear from Courtney.
Now I understand why the chairman calls his wrestling school Flat Back Training School. Damn! Oh, snap. There, yes. Your girl is hot tonight. Yes. It was, jaw-dropping moments. Bring it back, Eli. But I really like the whole grabbing the scarf thing that we got tonight. And by the way, CM Punk, you're probably listening. I hope you're listening. You look good in that scarf. You should get some more of those. Just saying.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you so much for that. Go ahead, B-Mac, if we haven't talked to you already on this.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, like I said, like this match, well, yeah, again, like this was the shortest match of the night, really. But at the end of the day, it advances the storyline with him and MJF and keeps the feud going so he can get closer to MJF and have their revolution match where, again, like I said, I think Wardlow is going to snap at Revolution on MJF and cost him that match.
Think so, I really do. All right, everybody. We had Billy Gunn. Apparently, he stole a camera and confronted Christian Cage. He wants his sons, the Gun Club, to get a title shot off of Jurassic Express. Christian says, why don't you try making a statement and then we'll talk. Colton and Austin beat up Christian Cage, battered him against the garage door, and they said, "That's that. There you go. There's your statement." B-Mac, aren't you excited that we might see the Gun Club get a AEW tag team title match?
Why? I mean, for what? I mean, yeah, they're undefeated, but for what? I mean, like, what are we doing? Like, I mean, absolutely not. Listen, get this match out the way and get on to the real meat of the tag team division, which we saw debut tonight, which was the Kings of the Black Heart. Because that right there, listen, they won't be tag team champions long if what we've seen tonight from them two is going to keep going on.
Yeah, I got to admit, I'm not too excited about the Gun Club getting a title shot. I was more for maybe they would use the Ass Boys thing, like their dad kind of worked with it and the sons are not with it. I hope they were going for something like that. How does that go from that to a title shot? I don't know. They do got the record for it, so let's hear from Alex Coquito.
Right now, they're at 5-0 because the rankings reset. But it doesn't really matter. And at the same time, technically, they're like, they should have been first in the rankings for a while. I get that. But again, I like this new style for Jungle for Jurassic Express. One face, one heel. One face, one heel. We already fought Dark Order, face tag team. Great match. We have to fight the Gun Club because they're acknowledging the rankings. I'm sorry to say it, but they're second. I think they're second or first. No, they're second because they claimed they're first. So they have to talk. And then I like that. Like I said, they're going down the line. I like that. I love that because they claim hasn't fought Jurassic Express yet, and they're first in the rankings. So let them fight the Gun Club, and they'll lose. And then we get to laugh at them and call them the Ass Boys some more. So everybody wins at the end, even though they're legally obligated. They're called the Gun Club still. Ass Boys for life. Kiki.
Are you sure about that?
I hope you are right about that, Alex. All right. We got the TNT champion, Cody, who's gone for a couple of weeks. He is back. And then we got a Go Big Show picture in picture. Don't you like that service? Yep. There was a ladder in the ring. I was wondering why was that. Cody was being his smug Cody self. He's talking about CM Punk's greatest promo, the pipe bomb promo. And you can hear the crowd tell him to STFU a lot. But Cody was really stern, and he, you know, he said that he did what everything CM Punk said he was going to do before he stepped away. And he did. He's done that. He was the integral part of All In. He helped create AEW. That's why I don't get like so much hate. AEW is Cody's baby. He's part of it. Young Bucks is baby. Kenny's baby. Tony Khan is the head of it. This is what Cody Rhodes was alluding to. He kind of made fun of Walter's name. So he was like some name change, but I was a shot at Gunther. That was funny as hell. He also took a shot at Brody King, saying you got some balls for naming coming in your name Brody. Especially in AEW, so Brody King got some of that, and watch out for his son. Dark Order's gonna get you. But he said he was waiting for a contract, but I don't think it was the contract against Sammy for this TNT title match. I think he was alluding to a WWE contract so he can show up at the Royal Rumble, but I don't think that's happening. It's not happening. But yes, we are going to have Sammy Guevara versus Cody for the TNT title at Beach Break. There can be only one. Let's hear from Courtney on this.
Whoa. Before you get into that, I'm going to talk about my boys, the Gun Club. Okay?
B-Mac, it is your time. Go ahead.
Listen. Okay. This is the Cody that I was waiting to show up. I was tired of him going around playing this, woe is me, I'm the victim, everybody's against me, and all this bullshit that was going on, right? Because it's what it was, a bunch of bullshit. He came out and was talking his big boy talk tonight, all right? And I was here for it because he came out and he let it be known, like, listen, There wouldn't be no AEW if I wasn't involved. All right. Yeah, Tony may be footing this, but he didn't foot all in. That was all me. That was my project. All right. He let it be known. Listen, I need my respect, and y'all go give him my respect, whether y'all like it or not. And no, I'm not turning here because when I needed y'all the most, y'all motherfuckers ran out on me. So if this is the way that he's going to be talking, listen, I can get into this Cody role, but I was just, listen, keep giving that big D-boy energy, all right, and take people's heads off when you cut promos. Get cocky. It's time for you to get cocky.
Yeah, he was taking no prisoners in this promo. I loved every second of it. Exactly. That's the Cody that we need, just sniping people, and they tried to hate, but they couldn't. Alex Coquita, your thoughts?
Oh, this is going to be... I'm half agreeing with BMAC, and I'm quarter agreeing with you. I'm going to say why. Now, I understand you want to toe the line between a heel and a face. Get that, Cody. Great. Why would you be an egotistical prick in the beginning of your promo and then switch it into an ball, I love the business. I'm like, okay, well, first off, come on, man. You know why people are booing him? When the Bucks bring up the fact that they're EVPs, they get booed because that's heelish tendencies. If you bring that up in the beginning of your promo trying to be sincere, people are going to tell you the STFU. I love the way we say words now without saying the whole thing. Now, I like the unification match. Sure, on Beach Break. Now, here's the problem that I hate. Cody wins the belt. Now he has the belt again. He's going to bury people again, and then we have to wait until someone takes it off him. That sucks. Sammy gets the belt. Why? Kiki.
Oh, there was someone that used to, you know, kind of pretend like he was a babyface, but we knew he was a heel. In WCW, he was kind of a douchebag in WCW, and his name was Hulk Hogan. And, but I'll say that when it comes to that part of Hulk Hogan, working the fans, kind of, you know, trying to get the reaction that you want, Cody has been doing masterfully doing that. He does that perfectly, and I think that's exactly what he was doing. Now, when it comes to the interim championships, I think they alluded to something. Cody wants the TNT title. He doesn't think of it as a secondary title, but he said he doesn't. This is not the, you know, title for title match he wants. I think he was alluding to something a little bit bigger, maybe the AEW World title. We'll see. Courtney, I'm sorry. I think we lost connection with you last time. Go ahead and give your thoughts.
Bullshit. love Cody's. Cody is just fire on that mic lately, and the ladder, I thought maybe we might eventually get a tables, ladders, and chairs match eventually, maybe, or maybe we could go a ladder match. Yeah, don't care about Sammy at all, so I'm Team Cody, Nightmare Family, all the way, baby.
Yeah. Did you know that the Ass Boys used to be in the Nightmare Family? They used to be, but they're no longer.
They still are. They're heels. Ooh.
If you want to go, yeah. Go ahead, B-Mac.
The only thing I'm going to say about the thing that I didn't like with Cody as champion is the fact that most of the time his matches are boring. Like, I get it. Listen, sitting through a championship match of his is boring as hell, all right? It is. I would rather see Sammy Guevara, who's going to give me a show and give me exactly what I'm paying for. I get Cody's the old school wrestler, but at the end of the day, sir, I'm going to need you to have a little flash in your step if you're going to be the champion. Because if you're talking that big boy talk, you're going to have to at least give me what I'm paying for, not put me to sleep. So step it up.
The piggyback real quick. Piggyback real quick, just because Courtney's giving that face that he's gonna say she's gonna say that BS word again to me. But the piggyback to BMAC real quick. The data's there, Courtney, because honestly, Cody has the curse of the WWE moveset. He was trained in it, he left WWE with it, he's still using it to this day. All the matches he's had, the opponent has had to shine because Cody does the five moves of doom. Maybe one or two more. But out of respect, B-Mac is right because the data's there. All I'm saying. You can keep it. Don't kill me.
We'll see what happens with this title for title match next week. We had Jade Cargill. She's issuing an open challenge, and the first challenger is Anna Jay. You know what? I like it. I really like it. Great. I can't wait to see the match between these two. And John Silver was there, said Anna is hungry, and we're going to see the dark side of Anna. I like that because when we first got introduced to Anna Jay, she just came in like a beast and was locked in the Queen Slayer, choked out Brandy. Can you do that again, please, Anna? Anna? Go ahead, B-Mac.
I like this promo for one and two reasons. First of all, yes, Anna Jay, she's the first challenger, open challenger for the TBS Championship. So what did I tell y'all months ago? I told y'all that the TBS Championship for the women, they was going to be having open challenges, right? All right, what are we getting this Friday on Rampage? It's an open challenge, right? Thank you. Listen, the tea spiller came through once again. All right, thank you. But that ain't what we're talking about. The fact that we're getting Jade versus Anna Jay this early on is going to play to Jade's strengths as a monster because, again, she's going to talk the hell out of Anna Jay in that match, all right? Her being a hostage she is, she's going to dominate all throughout that match. But, yeah, this is going to be like a solid first win for Jade as champion to test her. But moving forward, I'm here for Anna Jay getting a push at some point. But also, I got some women's division news for y'all because I'm being a tea spiller. I'm going to just break the news on the show tonight. AEW has officially signed Miss Marina Shaver, the wife of Roderick Strong. Hello? How do I know that? Oh, they dropped her official AEW merchandise on shopaew.com and only officially signed AEW talent gets AEW merch. So let's talk about it. Thank you.
And this is why you check out the Midwest Marks podcast. Subscribe. You'll be able to catch the tea spiller, B-Mac, and all that wrestling tea get spilled on the B-Mac Report. All right. Yeah, I'm happy that Jade is going to have challengers, and they're treating it like the TNT title, where we can see challengers from maybe independent wrestlers as well. So that could be make the wrestling scene in the women's division even more fruitful. We got KB saying if she's there, it's only a matter of time before her husband comes and the Undisputed Era will be whole again. We talked about this a little bit earlier on our Twitter spaces. We'll see. There's a lot of talks around in Roderick Strong right now. And yes, I like Marina Shaffer.
He signed a new contract with WWE not too long ago. He put the Kevin Owens treatment every sign.
Well, as far as we know, remember what Tony Khan said. Those aren't real contracts. But we'll see what happens with that. We got to keep on going on in this show, everybody. The next thing that we got was the House of Black, but they were announced. They were announced as the Kings of the Black Throne as they came to the ring. It was Malakai and Brody King. And I like how they said, like, when they're honoring the ring, it's like honoring the House of Black. I love that. I love that. The individuality, I love it. Brody and Griff started this match, but Malakai tagged himself in there right away. They just beat up Griff Garrison for a little bit. Brian Pillman was kind of going to get ready to go for a springboard, but he just couldn't bring himself to do it. He was second-guessing himself. It caused a mass confusion between him and Griff, and then Griff got taken out by Brody. Then they just started beating Pillman in the ring with kicks. He did his best, but all he could do was get destroyed and wrecked. Well, the Kings of the Black Throne, the House of Black, they won. And the post-match, Malakai told all his members to rise, and they did. I like how the people rose in the crowd. That's pretty cool. Then we saw Blind Man Pack on the screen saying that he's not going to join Malakai, that he's going to go after Malakai. Or maybe it was a little bit more deeper than we thought. By the way, we saw Eyepatch Julia just chilling there. You didn't do anything, Julia. I'm rooting for you. Courtney, now you gotta be siding with Courtney. Courtney, what was your thoughts on this match?
Again, hello. We got Julia not doing anything. Proves my point. She does nothing. Why are you there? You're supposed to root on your team. Okay, be a team player. For real. Gosh, sick of you. I hate this. It looks like, to me, the Varsity Blondes are over. So, maybe we have three new members of the House of Black. I don't know. Maybe since Pac is challenging Malakai, although I have to say I'm Team Pac. Go Pac, go Pac, go!
I don't know about three members. I definitely see two. I definitely see two. But let's hear from the Tea Spiller.
Listen, and this is why I'm the Tea Spiller, y'all, because the others can just give out nuggets whenever I feel like it. And tonight, I'm just feeling so generous, y'all. We will be getting another member of the House of Black debuting very soon in AEW. And it is somebody that just recently signed in private an AEW contract deal that hasn't been confirmed yet. But yeah, we definitely will be getting another high-profile member coming in as the third House of Black member.
And her name is Charlotte Royale. No, I'm kidding. I wish it was.
That's a disclaimer. That is not what that is. Not. Not. But I will say this, though. A few weeks ago on Twitter, he did post that once his eye turned red, there was going to be a second and third member that will soon be debuting. We've already seen the second one in Brody. There's another one on the way. And when new vignettes start airing, y'all can just say, I got it from the Tea Spiller on the Midwest March podcast first. Thank you.
All right. All right. Well, let's keep it rolling. We got Roppongi Vice saying that they want to challenge the Young Bucks to bringing up the New Japan Pro Wrestling history that they have. And they were nice to Brandon. That's a good change of pace. Good for Brandon. Next match that we had was Frankie Kazarian versus Lance Archer with Dan Lampert and Jake the Snake Roberts. There was a little vignette with Jake the Snake saying, questioning if Hangman Adam Page is a real cowboy, and that Archer wants the title. And you know what? I was a little rough on Frankie like earlier, but he's a solid guy. I like Frankie. He's very solid. But he did get destroyed in this match. Frankie did try and get some hammer shots down on Archer, but just kept on getting beat down and stepped on. And he bit Archer. He was fighting back. Got a leg drop for a two count. Unfortunately, Archer was just way too much. He did the blackout. Got the win. Your thoughts, stats, and commentary from Alex Coquito.
Lance Archer, 42-3. And Kazarian, 39-7. I remember this because we just covered this yesterday on Dark and Elevation. Check that out on the Midwest Marks podcast on the MidwestMarksPodcast.com. WWW first, obviously. Now continue. The promo that was before the match was clearly said that, thank you. The promo that was clearly said was that Jake the Snake said, are you allergic to the horses? And Hangman said, oh, what the hell? I'm from freaking North Carolina. You think Bob Orton, who was out hanging out for eight days, is not a cowboy because he was sleeping in hotels? No, he's still a cowboy. Yeah, he is. He was a crazy cowboy. So in the end, I did like this match, except Kazarian, you're a great wrestler, but sometimes your matches are boring. Nothing against you. It's just, I don't know. I nothing against him at all. I don't want to get angry or get the Kazarian family against me. No. All I want to say is this. They have to explain this, which they did not, but soon in the future. Why the hell Dan Lambert's with freaking Lance? Why? If you got Jake, and if he's in a safe area, wait, hold up. If Jake's safe, healthy, in a safe area, you can do like 6 months of vignettes in a room and just keep him safe. But either way, that's just my opinion. B-Mac, you know, you want to say something.
I say this. The reason why he's with Dan Lambert is because Dan Lambert is finna do to his career what he did to Scorpio Sky's career. He's finna revive his career by being alongside him because he is the heat magnet that he is needed. Like, let's be honest. I love Jake, but right now, Jake is getting over COVID. He still has some lingering health issues going on. You bring in somebody who can get the job done and get that immediate heat on him, and that's Dan Lambert. So this is the perfect pairing for him. And the fact that he said, get rid of that cowboy bullshit, baby, I was so hit for that.
I'm here for it too. And I if you remember, Men of the Year, one of the first people they attacked was Lance Archer. So I wonder would that play into anything, like maybe because, oh yeah, he's a tough guy. He took our, we fought him straight on and he just kept on ticking. So I'm wondering, will that play into that? All right, we got to keep on moving on. We had Dante with Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal saying that they got each other's backs. Dante said he thinks of them as brothers. He said he misses his brother. Ricky Starks came and he was like, man, why are we talking about brothers? We are just all talking about brothers. You're going to find out, Dante, that you're more alone than ever. And that was sounding like a big threat. Hobbs was there too, saying that Team Taz, they build assassins. So that's pretty good. And I can't help but think there was a lot of references to brothers in this. And that just makes me think. Darius, where you at though? Go ahead, Courtney.
I'll tell you where Darius is. He's on Twitter. You can find him. You can follow him. He's actually really nice to talk to. I don't know what to think about this brother's talk. Apparently, nobody has sisters. That's what I'm getting in real life. So, shout out to all the little sisters. Y'all know who y'all are. Yeah. We're seeing Ricky without his glasses, though. His sunglasses, you know, he always wears. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he found them.
I hope so. Go ahead, B-Mac.
My question is, where the hell is Leo Rush listening? Listen, Leo, look, I'm going to need you to get your ass back on television very soon, sir, because you are the perfect dynamic for this trio's title when y'all come back with Leo, Dante and Darius. So I'm gonna need Leo to get all this New Japan bookings out of the way so he can get back to Dynamite where he belongs. But other than that, yeah, I'm here for them being paired up with Lee Moriarty and Dante, because that's gonna be an interesting pairing to see how that chemistry plays off. And I'm loving the fact that they're starting to slowly incorporate Lee Moriarty into the picture. For the trolls out there who says that they don't push back talent, all right, what do they do tonight? All right, thank you.
Exactly. And after that Murder Hawk match with Frankie Kazarian, Frankie Kazarian was going to get bashed in the head with a chair. Oh, he also was going to get chokeslammed through a chair. But Hangman Adam Page came for the save, stepped up to the Murder Hawk monster and slapped him. Then they got slapped back and looked like Archer was going to get the better of it. Hangman used his own boot to knock Archer in the ring. Did a lot of rolling elbows to knock Archer back. Hit a lariat to knock him outside the ring. So that rivalry is heating up for the world title. Can't wait to see that as well. All right, we got... go ahead, Alex.
Two things. Great promo for these guys, also by the brothers. And always, we are a podcast, but we are a thorough podcast too. Post Black and Brody King promo, Pac came out in a vignette. With the bandage and everything. Now he has a new face paint because now the black mist is integrated into his sin. He did say, oh, Black, you thought by black misting me, you think I was going to be in your power? No, I'm just going to bring you pain. Wanted to put that out there. Now looks like Dark Souls pack is coming. I'm playing Dark Souls 2, so, you know, a lot of references. Kiki.
Can't wait to see Pac versus Malakai Black. That just screams banger. I'm here for it. We got Men of the Year with Dan Lampert saying that that Ethan Page wants to step up to Jon Moxley. We'll be seeing that on this week's Rampage. So good luck, Ethan. You're going to die. But whatever. We got Sky Blue versus Serena Deeb. And Sky was one of the ones to kind of help with Sheeta at the end, but yeah, she was just fed to Serena Deeb. Deeb was just playing with her food, did a shoulder tackle, front guillotine, then was just destroying Sky Blue in this match, swinging that breaker, deep tox, and then smashed her knee into the canvas, and then got in the Serenity Lock. Serena Deeb, she needs a title around her waist. Please and thank you. Go ahead, B-Mac.
Again, this is the Serena, and this is why I say she was the most important signing to the women's division, because at the end of the day, when you have the best technical wrestler in the female division in your division, you cannot lose. And the fact that she's a 17-year veteran with experience. Oh, and by the way, I got to break some news about Serena Deeb on the show. She confirmed in a new interview last week that she is having plans to open up her Serena Deeb Dojo Wrestling School in 2023, potentially in Orlando, Florida, where AEW is housed. And that would be a big benefit to that young women's division if she were to do that. So that's the tea on Serena. But as far as the match, she's going to be championship material sometime this year, because displaying what she showed tonight, you can't keep her out of that championship picture for too long.
Can't wait to see it. Next thing we got was a little thing before the main event with Matt Hardy and Andrade. He said he sold a percentage of the HFO to Andrade, and now it will be known as the AHFO. Go ahead, Alex.
Before I get to that, and I love you, Eli, segment with Chris Statlander, Red Velvet, and Layla Hirsch. Layla Hirsch came out and said it was your reason, it was your fault that we lost and everything else, even though, like I said before, Layla Hirsch won a match on Dark decisively. Red Velvet said, don't worry about it, I lost money, but it's okay, whatever. Then Layla Hirsch beat the crap out of Velvet. Chris said, what the hell's wrong with you? Then Layla Hirsch beat the crap out of Chris, gave her the arm bar, gave her the, as I like to call it, the Kurt Angle with Charmel, arm bar. And Charmel's on the floor. Back, shout out to the WWE 2003 ages. But HFO, I want to be really specific. He gave, I love numbers, he gave Andrade 51% of ownership of HFO. The three heads of the table on the 49% are Hardy and Private Party. The Butcher and the Blade are not involved, nor the Bunny. They're not involved in this. Andrade and Jose the Assistant is the other 2%, the other two members of the 51%. Hardy will do the day by day, and he, Andrade, is the president. This is not Steiner math. And Andrade is going to be the president of the HFO. Basically, what they did was they copied Triple H and Vince McMahon. They basically said it, but in a nice formal way. You bastards, I like that. I like that, Kiki.
I do know somebody who's really good at math, by the way.
I know you love sugar, but I ain't got none!
Love me some Scott Steiner. But alright, let's go ahead and get to this main event, which was The Acclaimed versus Darby and Sting. We saw a video package of Bowens dressed up as Darby, and then Sting ran him over. And then Caster came in with a bat and whacked Sting in the back of the head. Oh, I love these guys. I love these guys so much. All right. Alex, do you have the rap or something of the rap by The Acclaimed?
They said basically at the end they're going to make Sting become what Sting was in Starrcade 1997, which was that was the Starrcade where Sting messed up his knee, disappeared, and turned into Crow Sting about a year and a half later. So damn, that was messed up. The rap was pretty normal and everything else. Continue, Eli. Oh, sorry. Before we start, I want to say this to everyone that loves RoboCop. In the same arena that they were in 1997, Sting tagged with RoboCop against I don't know who. Doesn't really matter. Sting tagged with RoboCop in that same area in 1997. This is wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. Eli, continue.
Whew, that was a pretty good line. It took me a minute to figure out. I was like, why did he bring up that? I was like, oh, wait, RoboCop. Yep, there we go. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about this match. We had Caster attack Sting before the bell, and then Darby got attacked by Bowens. Darby got hit by a chair by Bowens before the match could even start. Then they wrapped it around his neck and then sent him through the post. Darby was pretty much out of this match for a little bit. And Sting said he could continue, so this match became a handicap match pretty much. Sting took control and he was like knocking both members of the Acclaimed through the steel steps. Stinger splashes on Bowens. He went for one for Caster, but he tore off the turnbuckle and avoided it. Ugh, that could have been bad. But back from the break, we saw the Acclaimed kind of take control, but Sting knocked both of them down, got the Scorpion Deathlock on Caster. Bowens did a discus elbow, but Sting just kept it locked in and gritted his teeth. Sting is such a badass, man. But Bowens was able to get him off and then hit him with the boombox while the ref was distracted. Darby just came flying out of nowhere, out of literally above the crowd. I don't know where he came from. That was nuts. And just started helping Sting. They started coughing drop on the outside and taking out both of the Acclaimed. Code Red by Darby for a two count. Hanging guillotine by Darby as well. Caster was kind of still I think he was still locked in. He was able to tag Bowens, I believe. Mic drop by Caster as well for a two count. Sting saved the match. Sting on the outside leaped from the stage and landed right on Caster. It kind of broke the table. I think it was more that Sting broke the table on his own, but it was still looked great. Sting leaping from the stage. I'm at his age. I'm just like, how? How is this man doing this? Coffin drop for the win by Darby Allin to win this main event. Let's hear from the T-Spiller.
Listen, first of all, Alex, listen, sir, I love you, but you forgot one thing about that promo, sir. The fact that WWE management just slyly tried to talk shit about the AEW women's division and called them gory mutilation. Baby, listen, the fact that Max Caster referenced that in that promo battle tonight, baby, I was here for that. You turn a positive into a negative because you acknowledge the women's division gets busy in the ring. How slickly can you put over the women's division by having Max Caster be the one to do it? Genius, Tony Khan. Keep doing that. But yeah, as far as this match, listen, the fact that Sting is 62 years old, outperforming your faves, baby, The Undertaker could never, Goldberg could never. At 62, out wrestling people that was half his age, grew up idolizing him. This is how you use a legend correctly and don't have him looking like a clown. Sting doesn't need a championship to be effective. This is what this was. Effective using a legend one-on-one class tonight. And Sting showed, and he showed out in this match, and he was the MVP tonight for me. And that table splash, it reminded me of how he used to no-sell back in the day and just get up like ain't nothing happened, because that's exactly what he did. Like, bitch, what happened? All right, thank you.
Pretty much. And in Sting's entrance, they announced him as a legend. I love that entrance with Sting. I love that. And back on TBS, welcome back, Sting. Courtney, your thoughts on this main event?
Hey, yo, listen, I'm going to drop a rhyme right now. The Lame went against my boys Sting and Darby, and they lost. They lost. But it was a hot match. That's all I got. It was a great match, though. Didn't know I could rhyme, did you?
It was a good match. I didn't know you could spit it like that, Courtney. Thank you for that. Let's go ahead, Alex. What was your thoughts on the stats and commentary on this main event?
Sting 7-0, Darby 54-17-1, The Acclaimed 37-4. The reference of people down in the chat, the reference of Sting and RoboCop happened in December 1997. Starrcade was 97 when he messed up his knee too. 97 was a crazy year for Sting. Now, this was a good match. I did like, as Eli said, Darby. I didn't see Darby. And Darby 1 foot the stairs and then went straight for Bowens. All I saw was that 1 foot. What was that? Ah! Well, that's pretty good. In the end, I'm happy for Sting. 21 years ago, he was on TBS. Last time he was on TBS, 21 years ago. I wanted to put that out there, too. This is a great match. They claimed who was first in the ranking are going right back to fifth. And now, Austin Gunn and the Gunn Club, a.k.a. the Ass Boys, even though, once again, we're legally obligated to call them the Gunn Club, is first in the rankings. Now, for Sting and Darby, this is a great tag team, but tag teams break up for reasons. So when are you guys going to break up? When? Not if. This is wrestling.
This is what I think about the Ass Boys being the number one contenders.
69 me done. 69 me, save me. Done, save me.
But what was your thoughts on this main event, B-Mac?
This match to me was how you use a legend in the right way. You don't have him win a championship, but you have him dominate in the key spots that you put him in. And again, he was the MVP of this entire match for me. And the table spot was perfectly placed for him. And he broke the table, but he sold it very well. And the fact that, you know, you have him with Darby Allin against the Acclaimed, it's so nice to see the Acclaimed back in this type of position, getting past the drama that they had with Max Caster earlier on in the year. They've been a different team since, and I predict that the more we get into the year, Anthony Bowens is going to start to shine a lot more outside of the group, because they definitely have something with him when they decide to pull the trigger on that.
Oh, I forgot to say one thing, by the way. The table spot. You keep saying the table spot. I remember why I wanted to talk about this. Sting, up until his knee touched and hit Caster, his left knee hit the table. That was the only thing that hit the table, yet the table broke like if it was Big Bam Bundy on his ass. What the hell? These tables, I guess we learned from the gory mutilation, as WWE calls it. They're like, you know what? We're going to go on cheap tables from now on. If you just don't touch it in the middle, because it will break. So good on you, AEW. Be cheap. Make it more glamorous. Kiki.
Very fun show this AEW Dynamite episode was. Just like always, great show. But all right, everybody, thank you for joining us. We're getting ready to wrap up here. We have our interview with Khan this tomorrow, and then we'll see whenever we get done with everything. We'll let you guys know. Hopefully that will be out by Friday or Saturday. We'll let you guys know. We have our live stream on Friday during the first hour of SmackDown. Wherever you are, go come hang out with us, and we'll talk about some wrestling, and we'll just come hang out and just talk with us, everybody. It'll be a fun time, I bet you. All right, I want to thank everybody in the chat. KB, Joseph Hargrove, thank you so much. Thank you guys for keeping and staying with us. Go ahead.
We missed something. Sadly, once again, we missed something. Hook is going to fight on Friday.
We could have waited, but
look. That's not the bombshell, because the bombshell is the fact that we're going to have John Moxley making his highly anticipated Rampage return, and that's going to be a blockbuster.
And Hook's going to murder Serpentico, because you know Serpentico's the perfect candidate for the Hook. For the hookers. The hookers, as Eli likes to say it. I don't want to say it as enthusiastically as he says it. This is how he says it, by the way.
Are you talking about how we're all hookers? Because we're all hookers? We're all hookers here. We're all hookers. I'm a hooker. You're a hooker. I'm just kidding. All right. Guys, we got to get out of here. All right, please, if you haven't already, subscribe and follow the Midwest Marks Podcast. Follow all these great, wonderful people right here. They are there. Their links right there to their Twitters and all of that stuff's right there. It's getting late, everybody. But all right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you soon. We get out of here one way and one way only, and that is counting 1, 2, 3, and we say
Mark out.
Mark out.